Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Democrat Gazette Senior Editor Rex Nelson, and we're talking economic development, specifically in Central Arkansas today, with Jack Thomas from the Little Rock Regional Chamber. Jack, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rex. Excited for the conversation.
Well, there's a lot going on that is really exciting. Tell me first, though, I know there's some family background there, but how you got into this economic development gig?
Yeah, well, depends on who you asked. My dad worked for the electric co-ops for a number of years.
Many years, absolutely.
In economic development, then in government affairs. But I told a group not long ago that, you know, for most of my upbringing, I had no idea what my dad did, you know. So it wasn't like we sat around the dinner table talking about economic development.
He went to work, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So it's a funny story, though, how I got introduced
to
it.
I'm sure you didn't think he was a lineman or anything, though. He didn't dress right,
well,
right, for the electric co-ops.
He wore too many suits for that. But so I guess this was back when I was in college. I had a good friend from high school who was a duck hunting guide.
Mm-hmm.
And his name's Landon Hearns. And he was always posting on social media all these duck hunts that he had. Well, it turns out he was guiding at Stan Jones' place up in Northeast Arkansas.
Ah.
So I told my dad, I said, we got to go up there to Stan Jones. Well, right about that time, the co-ops were looking at doing some type of economic development event where we would host, or where they would host, site consultants in the state. And, you know, these site consultants, they get to go to the Kentucky Derby. They get to go to the Masters. So what's our play in Arkansas that's something uniquely Arkansan?
Mm-hmm.
So he and J.D. Lowry got together and said, let's do a duck hunt and host these consultants at a five-star lodge at Stan's place.
Ah.
So, of course, I was jealous that they were planning that the year after we had just gone up there and absolutely hammered them.
Yep.
And so a group of site consultants comes in, the state comes in, the governor comes in for this event, and I'm begging my dad, like, can I please come to this? So he let me come, and I got to hunt and hang out at Stan's place for a little bit, and I met a couple of people that worked at the State Economic Development Commission. I met a guy named Bentley Story, a guy named Drew Williams, mm-hmm. Stephen Lamb, who's in Jonesboro now, and I started talking to him and understanding that their job was to go out and sell Arkansas, and that was coinciding at a time when I was wrapping up at Harding, which was a great experience in that you have this incredible university in what is somewhat a small town in Arkansas.
Exactly.
Where you've got students from
all over the world.
All over the world.
Yeah. Harding has always had a great international population.
Exactly. So all 50 states, over 50 countries. You're in the College of Business. You're sitting next to somebody from Colorado, somebody from China. I mean, mm-hmm. all over the world. So it was around that time that I had this thought that, man, I want to do something with my career that impacts Arkansas. Because you're hearing all these perceptions of people coming in to Searcy, talking about Little Rock, talking about the state of Arkansas. And I wanted to do something in that field. So right around that time, I go to that duck hunt and I meet these guys, and they're selling Arkansas to these site consultants and these companies. And I'm thinking, man, that sounds like a pretty fun, pretty impactful gig. So got introduced to them at the State Economic Development Commission. That was my first job out of college. Worked there for a number of years, and then had the chance about 3 years ago to take this job here in Little Rock, which Little Rock's home for me. A lot of the projects that I was working on at the state level were Little Rock-centric projects. Mm-hmm. I've known our CEO, Jay Chester, for a long time. So very natural transition and very fortunate to be in this position.
I was going to say, now, at Arkansas Economic Development Commission, you were working statewide, but what people need to understand is when Little Rock says the Little Rock Regional Chamber, it truly is regional. You don't just work in the city limits of Little Rock.
Yeah, you're right? Exactly right. Actually, after we wrap this up, I'm heading to Arkadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Your neck of the woods.
My hometown.
Your stomping grounds to meet with Shelley Short.
Yep.
Down there to talk about some things, including a prospect that's coming down to Arkadelphia here in a couple weeks.
She's doing a great job down there, let me tell you.
She is.
Former employee of the State Chamber of Commerce, now at the Arkadelphia Regional Chamber. So you look at things on a regional basis, and I recently had Brian Day on the show from the Port of Little Rock, and we were talking about the fact that, of course, we've seen, and we'll get into some of these, all the announcements recently at the port, all that's going on there, but also next door, you have the huge expansion of Dassault Falcon at the Little Rock National Airport that's going on. across the river, you know, in North Little Rock, you take the Galloway exit and you'll now see miles after mile of distribution warehouses being built along US 70, Mall Mail. You got Tractor Supplies, their biggest distribution center they've ever built in the country. There, you go over to Conway and you see what West Rock is doing. All of that is to say that I think Central Arkansas really has entered a new era. And Brian agreed, and I want to see if you agree, as a real nationally known distribution and manufacturing hub with all that's going on.
There's no doubt. And all the announcements over the last couple of years certainly provide a lot of credibility to that end. But I think look no further than the employment reports that we've seen, right? You look at a lot of these projects, not just in manufacturing, distribution, logistics, but all the sectors in which we work projects. Since 2020, we've had the chance at the Chamber to work 42 different projects that have landed here in Central Arkansas.
Wow.
That represent over 11,000 new jobs, that represent $470 million in new payroll. $470 million in new payroll.
And that's a lot.
Over $2 billion in capital, in taxable capital investments. So when you look at these manufacturing distribution projects, obviously a significant amount of capital investment that goes to fund schools, it goes to fund cities with road projects, goes to fund county projects, et cetera. So there's significant taxable benefit that you get from these manufacturing distribution logistics projects. But you look at those 42 projects that represent about 12,000 jobs now, we reached record employment in Central Arkansas in 2024. Mm. So at the highest point of the year, typically peaks in late summer, we had 373,000 people working in the region, which is more than have ever been working before. And for context, is 40,000 more people working today than were working in 2014.
Wow.
And 60,000 more working today than in 2004. So I think it sometimes can be out of sight, out of mind, especially with the port and the airport. Mm-hmm. You don't see everything because
people don't go out there.
You're not going out there unless you're going out there. So significant impact to the economy over the last, really since 2020, but obviously a long time before that, setting the stage for what needs to be done to be able to win these projects. But you're right, all across the region, we're finding success.
Absolutely we are. You know, with all that business you talk about out of sight, out of mind, I'll just throw an anecdote out to you. My son was lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan now, and he was flying in last night. I had to pick him up very late at the airport, and I was running a little bit early. And again, I'm not somebody, I work in downtown Little Rock. I don't get to that part of town very often. And so I was killing a little time. And I thought, you know, I hadn't been in the Holiday Inn out there, hadn't even thought of it in years, and hadn't even the Holiday Inn Express next to it. Wonder if they're even still around. And I drove through, and both hotels, this is anecdotal, but the parking lots were absolutely packed.
Yeah.
And that shows you the kind of business that is going on out in that area.
Absolutely.
People in to do business with all those companies that are out there.
You know, we had a number of groups in town this week with other projects that we're working out there. There's a national group that's doing due diligence on a site at the port. We had several different construction companies in interviewing a company that we recruited to town. Obviously, you've got so much construction activity going on that subcontractors that are coming in need a place to be. So you're exactly right. That's a growing, a booming place, so to speak, but many people don't see it because you're not out there.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that happened, and Brian and I were talking about this also, is that Amazon likes to fly under the radar. You know, they don't publicize their job numbers or whatever. And when they really chose Central Arkansas as a regional hub, it was during the pandemic, of course, so everybody was consumed with that. And it really came in under the radar. They built this massive facility at the port. They built another massive facility across the river at North Little Rock. Now you see, I mentioned North Little Rock, take the Galloway exit, like you're going toward Memphis, take a right. You'll go to the stoplight. Hills Lake will be in front of you with the big cypress trees in it. Take a left at US 70, and you're going to be amazed as Dollar General and Lowe's
and Sinsky,
others, and more probably to come with land being cleared there. mile after mile. My sense is that when a giant like Amazon picks a place, that it sends kind of a message to the rest of the country. Is that not correct?
Absolutely. It sends a sign of credibility, a sign that this is a place that's worthy of investment. I think the same is true with so many other companies that have picked the port, picked Central Arkansas, whether it's Galloway, whether it's Maul Mill, whether it's Arkadelphia with what mm-hmm. Hostess is doing down there, Veolia is doing down there. So, you know, so many times there are companies that when they come in, they see other projects under construction. And that sends a signal that this is a place that we too can invest in. So you're absolutely right. You see that blue stripe. You can see it on the top of the building from Interstate 40 in Galloway. You see that blue stripe on top of Amazon, and all of a sudden everybody else wants to be in that spot too.
Now, Jack, you can correct me if I'm wrong because you're doing this for a living now. But, you know, again, I said Amazon doesn't publicize this, but best estimates I hear are somewhere north of 4,000 people that they employ now in Central Arkansas.
That's right. This time of year, probably higher.
Yeah, you know, even higher than that. Seasonal, but let's go with demand. The 4,000 number. If my research is correct, you know I'm a history nut too, that's the biggest job insertion of one entity into Central Arkansas since the Little Rock Air Force Base was constructed decades ago.
Right. And it nobody picks up on that because they fly under the radar as much as they do.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right.
Yeah. It's really amazing everything that is coming from it. So all this is to say becoming a distribution center, becoming a manufacturing center, really hot. I mean, goodness knows, I'm an Arkansan. I consider all 75 counties my beat, and I love what's going on in Northwest Arkansas. But I did a couple of columns because I thought most Arkansans, I certainly would have been wrong. I would have said 90% of them would have been wrong. If you had asked the last 2 years of cities 50,000 or larger, what's the fastest growing? Everybody would have said Bentonville. Conway,
right?
The last 2 years.
Yeah, so the last 2 years.
Central Arkansas is also hot.
Absolutely, and I would encourage
Conway growing at a faster rate than Bentonville, believe it or not.
Yeah, and I would encourage folks to look at jobs reports. You know, mm-hmm. if you look at the most recent jobs report that was released from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Central Arkansas, the Little Rock metropolitan area, was the fastest growing jobs market in the state, and that's been the case on numerous jobs reports over the course of the year. So, you know, I think there's a lot of positive narratives that can be told about Little Rock, told about Central Arkansas that that unless we tell them, people don't tell those stories.
Yeah.
So we have to continue, all of us, not just those of us who are paid to do economic development, all of us have to continue to tell those positive stories about Little Rock.
I want to switch over just a second because I want to get your viewpoint. You and I have talked privately about this before, but it comes back to the quality of life amenities that attract people. Brian will tell you that of the roughly 10,000 people working out at the Port of Little Rock now, they come from more than 40
That's right.
of the 75 Arkansas counties. They drive a long way. How do we get more of those people living here rather than driving an hour and a half, 2 hours to work every day?
Well, I think it starts with part of the challenge with that is that,
and I know you all address, not to interrupt
right.
you, but I know you address that big picture at the chamber also.
Well, you're right, we do, but part of that is when you bring in 5,000 new jobs like that
and
overnight,
I go have housing,
but also too, you're going to pull from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people that are going to be attracted to these jobs that live all across Arkansas. So the jobs are as available for people in Little Rock as they are in Searcy or as they
exactly.
are in Moulton, wherever. So the jobs are there for the people of Little Rock. I think what we have realized, and this is not unique to us, it's across the country, is that the number one driver of economic development projects is workforce. And how do we create a workforce development pipeline that creates an opportunity for students to be ready for both college and career by the time that they're done with their high school experience. So we've embarked as the chamber over the last 7 years now on a transformative public education project through the Academies of Central Arkansas that
mm-hmm.
you're familiar with. That it's one thing to know that a job exists. It's a whole nother thing to know who you're going to be working for in that job and to be able to have a relationship with employers. So part of that whole framework, there's so many things we could spend hours talking about it, but part of that whole framework is to bring business leaders into the classroom so that these students, as early as ninth grade, can develop relationships with employers and be made aware of the opportunities that exist. We always say that if you don't see it, you can't be it. Mm-hmm. So you have to see these opportunities that exist in order to understand that they're even there. I'd say I'm a great example of this in that I grew up here in Little Rock. I had no idea that Dassault Falcon Jet existed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
yeah.
I had no idea that the world supply of Skippy peanut butter was made in Little Rock. You know, had no idea the fintech scene that exists here. You know, so there's so many things that until you're exposed to them, there's no reason for you to know until you're exposed to it. So that's something that we're trying to do a good job of, and I think have made significant progress towards.
Yeah. I've got to tell you, since you mentioned Dassault Falcon, you know, as I look back on 2024, my favorite column that I wrote in 2024 may have been one about, if you go back to the roots of how they got there, it was because Jack Stevens bought an old cargo plane.
That's right.
And turned it into a private jet, and he had so many problems. He was always having to take it to Memphis to get fixed, and he wanted to start work in Little Rock, and that's the roots of it all. I wrote a story about that expansion and how neat it was, and I'll just tell you, Warren Stevens called me and said, come up to lunch. I've got some stuff you would want to look at
wow.
on this.
And I bet that was
it. It was a fun column,
that's
as
awesome.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah. All goes back to Jack Stevens mad because his old plane was breaking down so often and he didn't want to have to go to Memphis anymore
that's
to get
right.
work done.
Well, there's so many things in this community to do. Go back to the Stevens family.
Yeah.
So that's you're absolutely right.
You know, let's go back as we look at 2024. I mean, I look, for instance, at the final week of October, in that one week you had two big job announcements out at the port. On a Tuesday, we'll start here. It was announced that the Famanville Group had selected Little Rock for its first U.S. production facility, 409,000 square foot initially. A second phase will expand it to 624 square feet, over a $200 million impact. The bigger picture there is that you guys who promote economic development in Central Arkansas have done a really good job in recent years with international companies.
That's right. Well, the same message about Amazon, right, about providing mm-hmm. some credibility, the same could be said with foreign direct investment and the international companies that we have.
Yeah, again, this is their first U.S. facility. They're in Belgium, Luxembourg, Poland, and Italy, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So if you're able to look a shareholder of that company, the majority shareholder, chief executive of that company in the eyes and say, we've done this before with other companies with their first United States production facility. Let's go right around the corner and look at Alopac and what we're doing with, mm-hmm. with them. So I think that establishes a whole lot of credibility. But yeah, the Famanville project, we can talk about it as much as you want, was really unique in the sense that we work so many of these deals that come to us through site location consultants or come to us from big multinational groups with so many layers of corporate bureaucracy, whereas this was a company that family owned, which you think about the legacy of Arkansas businesses fits
yeah.
right
yeah.
in. But also too, made a decision that they didn't have to take to a board of directors. The decision was made by the family. And Mr. Famanville, on Famanville, at the announcement
seventh generation, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
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 Seventh generation.
Wow. That's an old company.
No doubt. And he said, you know, that so many decisions in business are driven by the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so many site selection projects that we deal with are data driven. But he said that this was a gut decision and it felt right. And you know, you read one of the stories that was written about the project, said that that they looked all across the East Coast, they looked across the Midwest, and Mr. Famanville said they were underwhelmed. And then they were introduced to Arkansas. And I think that speaks to the level of just the hospitality that's mm-hmm. here and the attention to detail that our team has and that everybody in the economic development community here in Little Rock has, that we're on offense all the time.
Yeah.
And we're
yeah.
not sitting back waiting for these opportunities to come. We're pursuing them. And when we have a chance to go chase a project like Famanville, the first United States production facility, $120 million investment, 500 new high-paying jobs, we're going to go chase it with everything we've got. So really excited about that one. They're actually in town this week, interviewing some general contractors
right.
to start the ball on
to move
getting
forward
that
pretty quickly.
Exactly.
All right. So let's go back. I said that was on a Tuesday. Just 2 days later, you were back out there, speaking of international companies, to announce that Wellspun Tubular was investing another $100 million, going to add another 175 jobs to the roughly 1,000 that they already have out there. So, boom. That's in a three-day period.
It is. We knew it was coming. We knew we were going to announce it at some point this year. We did not realize that we would announce it the same week. Wellspun was actually at the Famanville announcement and said, hey, we want to do this too. We want to do it right now. We pulled that press event off in a matter of a couple of days. But you're right. I mean, and I think that is a great testament to is as exciting and as attractive as it is to recruit a new-to-market company like Famanville. The true testament to a community is their ability to work with companies over the course of the long term, right? Mm-hmm. And to have a company like Wellspun, who's been here for nearly 20 years, going back to the original recruitment that Jay was a part of, that one of my predecessors, Paul Latour, another one of my predecessors, right. Joey Dean, was a part of. The true testament to a community is the ability to stay attractive for that investment. Mm-hmm. And Wellspun, they looked in Texas, they looked in Ohio, but they said, this is the place that we want to do it. And I think as much as an Amazon or as much as a Trex, an Alopac, a Famanville, as great as that is to welcome them to the community, this is almost even more of a stamp of credibility than recruiting a new company. So really excited about that. They'll break ground next week, and they too will be moving pretty quick.
Staying with the port as we look back on 2024, in August, Trex held a topping out ceremony for its manufacturing facility. They're investing more than $400 million. Now, I know that project was announced several years ago. The pandemic slowed things down a little bit, but that's a huge project. It's now moving forward full speed ahead.
Right? It sure is. Yeah, it sure is. You drive around out there and you'd be amazed at the progress that you see, especially, I mean,
300-acre site, I understand. It's a really big site.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what the Trex project does, as great as the Trex project is, it also provides an opportunity to continue to extend infrastructure further south as we build to the mega site that we're assembling at the port. So if you go look out there now, there's a brand new industrial grade road that serves Trex, but also serves the mega site. Mm-hmm. There's a rail bed that's being built. Brian and I met this morning about this and some other things, that rail bed being built, it'll be completed in the first quarter of 2025. You've got a new substation that's being built. So the Trex project, as great as it is also enabling us to be able to build out infrastructure to serve the mega site, which of course will have a benefit beyond anything that we've ever seen.
Yeah, so I want to get to that in a minute, but while I'm reviewing what was a huge year at the port, also earlier in the year, you mentioned Alopac real quickly. They broke ground on their first U.S. production site. Again, a foreign company founded in Norway in 1957.
That's right. That was a project that moved quick, about a 12-month recruitment project, where we were first introduced under the code name Project Darius. There's so many cases in economic development where, for obvious reasons, these companies, as they're looking across multiple locations, will come in under, you know, code names and first name only.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, we first hosted them. There was a gentleman that stuck his hand out and said, my name's Renard. And you don't ask any questions at that point. Understand that everything's confidential. Well, we had the chance to work with them over the course of the next year or two as they looked at 25 locations across five states. They got to the final three sites, which was Little Rock, Kansas City, and Oklahoma City. So we're competing against Kansas City and Oklahoma City, which for me, especially as a former athlete, becomes really fun when you find
that kind of
competition. Who you're competing against.
Yeah.
But and then we were able to announce that in December. They broke ground in March. You go out there today, they're almost finished. They're about to install equipment. So and part of that is our secret sauce. I mean, that's part of what we market to these international companies, is that the speed to market that you have here in Little Rock is as competitive or more competitive than anywhere else in the country. And certainly that's the case at the port. But the gentleman that first stuck his hand out with first name only, Renard, has actually moved to Little Rock. His wife's moving over here in January. We've developed a friendship, and we'll take him duck hunting. So I'm not going to let him move to Arkansas without going on a duck hunt.
Yeah, good for you. All right, I do want to get to the mega site because I just think, you know, the next really big thing in Arkansas may be that site. A lot of people who've kept up with economic development are familiar with moving the navigational aid, known as a VOR, that finally finally is happening, and now you'll have roughly a 1,000-acre site that you'll be able to market in, really, with three interstates now, with the 57 designation, three interstates come together, a national airport, the McClellan Kerr Arkansas River Navigation System, major rail facilities here. And I know you guys are wanting to do something that will be a generational project for Central Arkansas, but I think it's going to happen. Put the pressure on you, yeah, because it's a great site.
I welcome the pressure. Yeah, I think that the part of the challenge that we'll have, we've already had folks that have looked at it. Part of the challenge that we'll have is looking at everything that the community has invested in this site, the over $30 million that we've secured locally to be able to acquire and develop this site. The challenge that we have is what's the project? Because this is a once in a generation opportunity to be able to put a site like that together, mm-hmm. that we need to be fairly selective with what we put on that site. And I think there's a level of strategic patience that we need to have, that these projects don't come along every year, the type of project that we're looking at. I mean, you look at what Ford is doing with Blue Oval City in West Tennessee. They had that site for 18 years before Ford landed. And there was an article in the Memphis Commercial Appeal that said, when is enough enough? Talking about the investment into that site, the state had just put, I think, about $52 million into wastewater infrastructure. And all of a sudden, you have people saying, when's enough enough? And literally the next week, they announced the mm-hmm. largest new-to-market deal in Tennessee history. So that I think there's a level of strategic patience that we'll need to have. Mm-hmm. There's still some work that we need to do on that site to get it ready.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
I think once we do, it's as competitive as anything in the South. And something that we're going to market very aggressively.
That's exciting. So I knew time would go fast, but as we begin to wrap up, if you look from an economic standpoint, where Central Arkansas is going to be, let's say 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what do you see on the horizon?
So our guiding star at the Chamber is that in the next 10 years, there's going to be 400,000 people working in the MSA. So I mentioned we reached peak employment this year of 373,000,
right.
Shattered employment records a number of different times. We feel like if we do everything right, from recruiting new companies to retaining the ones that we have, to getting all of our workforce development programs right, with increasing the labor force participation rate, and then on the quality of life, quality of place side, being able to be a place that we have the amenities to attract talent. If we do all of those things right, we'll get to 400,000 people working in the MSA by 2033. So that's our guiding star. I think we need to continue to stay focused on what are those quality of place investments that we need to make to be able to continue to attract talent, because it's so hard. I mean, you have mm-hmm. The success that we've had is a double-edged sword in two ways. One, that it's an absorption of talent that you have to continue to backfill that pipeline of talent to fill jobs, but then too, it's an absorption of land and product that we have to backfill as well. So I think that's our guiding star. That's our 10-year outlook. I think the progress that we made this year, you look at all these facilities that are under construction, you look at a lot of the other momentum and sectors across our economy, not just manufacturing. I think we talk about manufacturing a lot, but we're as focused on innovation, as focused on technology, as focused on healthcare. We had a group in town this week that's a med device company that's going to be locating in Little Rock in 2025. So as focused as we are in the manufacturing sector, we are in all of the other sectors that make up our economy. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you made that point. It is not just industrial development. It's overall economic development. We're taping this, for instance, right now at the Democrat Gazette building, corner of Capitol and Scott downtown. My office is on the third floor, Jack. I look out my window at the office and I see work going on the renovation of the Boyle building on one side, and I see the expansion of the Little Rock Technology Park on the other side. At a time when a lot of downtowns across America are struggling, that's really exciting to look out the window of my office and see two projects going on.
It absolutely is. And going back to this international component, right? When we have visitors into Little Rock, executives from across the world, to be able to drive through a place like this where you have cranes, mm-hmm. you know, you have redevelopment of old buildings, you have building of new buildings that are taking place across our community. I think that's also a sign of confidence that we can give. So we have to continue to develop City Center. You've written about this a lot, and we talk about this at length, that in order for Arkansas to reach its full potential, Little Rock has to thrive.
Absolutely.
And more specifically, downtown Little Rock has to thrive. And I think there is no more important intersection in Arkansas than the intersection of Capitol and Main. And when you look
out here, half block away from where we are right now.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. You see the development there. I think that's a sign of confidence and a sign of momentum.
All right. Jack Thomas, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in. We'll do this again soon because there's a lot I need to keep updated on.
I'd love it. Thanks, Rex.
All right. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Pride Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.